If you've got a Bible, would you turn with me to page 865? There you'll find Ezekiel chapter 36. I hope. 865. It's taking me a while. 865. You'll find Ezekiel chapter 34. Everybody found Ezekiel 34. We're in this series thinking about what it means to have Jesus as our good shepherd. We thought about that in January. We thought about that last week as we saw his heart of compassion for lost people. He's the shepherd who longs to go to those who are lost and draw them in. Now remember, he fed the 5,000 to demonstrate his care. Now this week, we're going to think about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we're going to have a look at false shepherds. Some of it's a bit grim. I hope we'll see that. I hope as we see the grimness of the false shepherds, we'll see the glory and goodness of Jesus. So I'm going to read page 865, Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm going to read 1 to 16. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I'll bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I'll bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I'll tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your word. Thank you so much for the Old Testament that gives us such rich pictures of your care. Please would you help us as we look at these verses together, as we reflect on them together this morning, please would you speak to our hearts and help us to live for Jesus. Amen. I don't know if any of you know who this is. This is Lamore Whitehead. Maybe you saw a news story about him earlier in the week. I spotted it on the BBC website. This man, Lamore Whitehead, he was known to some as the Bling Bishop. The Bling Bishop. And known as that because of his lavish lifestyle, which I think should ring alarm bells in itself. He led a church in New York and promised health and wealth and prosperity to his congregation if you give your money to the church. Last week, he was sentenced to 9 years in prison for fraud. The article makes for some pretty grim reading. He preys on the vulnerable in his congregation. He takes their money and he spends it himself, promising them blessing in the end or blessing tomorrow, but it never comes. There's one example in the article where he tells a lady in his church, a member of his church, that if she gives him £90,000, her life savings, the church will help her buy a house. She never sees the money again. She never sees the house. It's horrible. Instead of looking after her as he's supposed to, he exploits her. And we're glad, aren't we, when justice systems work a little bit and people like him are found out and put in prison. That's good news. We're glad about that. He's been locked away. But the damage has been done to this woman. I guess it's possible she'll never, ever trust another Christian ever again. And who could blame her? I guess it's possible if she ever hears Jesus' words again, come follow me, she's going to be understandably reserved, understandably hesitant to follow Jesus with her energy and life and resources. And this morning, I want us to think about this. What do you think God thinks of this kind of thing? This morning, as we look at Ezekiel 34, God wants us to know he is not oblivious to this sort of thing. He promises in Ezekiel 34 that he will hold false shepherds like this accountable for what they've done. But he doesn't stop there. He also promises to look after his sheep. We've just read from Ezekiel 34, which I imagine for many of us, for me as well, it's an unfamiliar book, Ezekiel. It's very long. It's Old Testament. It's prophetic. It's a man who's been given a message by God to proclaim to Israel. And the message is, well, it's mostly warning, to be honest. Mostly warning. If you continue, Israel, God's people, if they continue to live in their rebellious ways, if they continue to live without God and continue to ignore his words, then essentially he'll give them what they want. They want life without God. He says, if you continue to ignore me, then I'll give you that. And well, Ezekiel gives them the message, but they ignore it. And Israel end up in a mighty mess. God withdraws his protective care, and enemy nations flood in, particularly in Ezekiel's time, it's Babylon. This enormous enemy nation come in, and they defeat Israel, and they take all the people of Israel off into captivity. Maybe you're familiar with the story of Daniel. It's that kind of thing. The enemy nation, they go in, they steal the people, they destroy the city of Jerusalem, and they take the people away. Ezekiel gets taken away with them. So peoples and families, they're carried off and now they're enslaved. Ezekiel had a job to warn the people before it happened, and then he has a job in the next few chapters to explain to them why it happened. God doesn't leave them unawares. He warned them, and now he tells them why it happened. But as they sit in captivity, from around chapter 30 onwards, Ezekiel's message gets much more positive. He begins to talk with hope about restoration. And his message to the people is now, if you turn back to God, even though you're in captivity, if you turn back to God, he will restore you. He will restore the people of Israel. He promises to. And that gets played out in all the chapters from 30-ish onwards. But in chapter 34, he says to his people who are in captivity, he says, I'm going to hold false shepherds accountable. Now, it's not that the people of Israel are innocent. They were fleeced, as it were, taken for a ride. They're guilty too. They ignored God's word. But God, in Ezekiel 34, says that he's primarily going to focus his judgment on the shepherds who were supposed to lead the people. Remember, we've got this language of sheep and shepherds. Sheep, God's people, individuals, human beings who go astray but are supposed to stay with their shepherd. The shepherds, God's leaders, people who have been appointed, given responsibility to lead the people. They're supposed to lead people to God. And yet we see in this chapter what's gone wrong. As the shepherds should care, they just cause chaos. They're supposed to help, but they don't. Have a look at verse 1 with me. Notice what God says. So the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel. And God says to Ezekiel, say this, son of man, he says, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, woe to you, shepherds of Israel. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel. That is a serious rebuke from God. When God, you do not want to hear from God, woe to you, is severe as he confronts these shepherds. I wonder if you noticed the problem of what they do. These priests, these prophets, these elders who are supposed to lead the people and take care of the flock. Verse 2. End of verse 2. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. These awful leaders, they take stuff that is given to them by the sheep that is supposed to be used for worship in the temple, and they just sit back and eat it. I think of an Israelite. He's raised this sheep. He's thankful for this sheep. He's got a few, and he wants to present in the temple the prize sheep, the best sheep, the blameless sheep to God as a thank offering, as a sign of his worship. And he takes Fluffy, and he goes to the temple, and he worships God by giving God, sacrificing the sheep. That's the idea. And yet these leaders, they say, thanks for bringing Fluffy down. He's cute. Looks yummy. We'll take it from here. And so they assure the people that the sacrifice will be done, but they take the sheep and they slaughter the sheep and they eat the sheep for themselves. That's not all, though. They take the wool and they make lovely clothes for themselves. And they take what is belonging to God and they use it for their own gain. It's horrible. It's worse than that picture of stealing candy from a baby. Their job is to care for the flock, but they only care for themselves. Have a look at verse 4 with me. What would you expect a shepherd to do when there's a weak sheep, or an ill sheep, or an injured sheep? You expect them to stitch them up, to bandage them, to give them strength. And yet you have not strengthened the weak or healed those who are ill or bound up the injured. They just don't care. I guess it's a bit worse than a boss who is only interested in you if you make them look good. These leaders, they only care what the sheep can do for them. Notice the next bit of verse 4. When sheep go astray, what do you expect a shepherd to do? You have not brought back the strays. When God's people get lost, when they get confused about how to live for God, what do you expect a shepherd to do? Help them. Guide them in the right direction. Here, you've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Rather, you have ruled them harshly and brutally. Imagine Imagine a child, maybe you don't have to imagine, maybe this has happened to you. Imagine a child running towards a busy road. What you want to see is a parent running quickly, grabbing the child up in their arms, cuddling them up safe, and then gently but firmly teaching them about the dangers of the road, right? That parent shepherds the child in the right way to go when there's a busy road. That's what we want to see these leaders doing, but these leaders instead, they're like a parent who watches and just shouts, "You stupid kid!" If they even notice at all. Maybe they see and they just go, and let them run into the road. Isn't that a horrible picture? We don't want to ever see that amongst parents, and yet these leaders of God's people have been doing just that. And that's why the people of God have ended up in the sorry state they're in exile, in Babylon, in slavery. Have a look at verse 5. The result of all of this, these wicked, rubbish, annoying, frustrating shepherds, false shepherds, the result of it is that the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. The sheep, they end up wandering all over the mountains and on every hill, and they're scattered over the whole earth. And no one looks for them. These sheep, you can understand the picture, can't you? Sheep in a pen, safe. They need to go out to green pastures, so the shepherd lets them out. If they're going to stay safe out in the green pastures, they need the shepherd around to guard them, to keep watch, to keep them in the right way. If they get let out of the pen and then just get let wandering off, cliffs fall off. Wolves come and eat them. They get stuck in brambles and thickets. They end up in all sorts of danger. Without faithful leaders, God's people, they turn away from him and they go astray and they get stolen, in this case, by another wicked enemy. And many of God's people, without good shepherds, they turn to false gods and other religions. They look for life and help and green grass in other places. They wander endlessly. I think we see lots of that around us as people without Jesus the Good Shepherd look to other religions and other philosophies to satisfy, to help them, and it doesn't work. Sheep without good shepherds end up spiritually hungry and spiritually lost. So what does God say to them? Verse 2, again, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. And from verse 7, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds. Because of their wickedness, God will act to remove these shepherds from their position, and they'll be outcast and no longer part of God's people. Because of their greed and neglect, God will act so that his people are protected. He promises to hold false shepherds accountable. That's true in Ezekiel's day, and it's true in our day too with the Lord Jesus. Over and over in the New Testament, we see Jesus confront hypocritical and greedy religious leaders who are out for their own gain. In a while, at some point at least, we're going to come back to the place we got to in Matthew chapter 21, 22, and we're going to read as Jesus says, pronounces seven woes on the Pharisees and the religious leaders. It's going to sound a bit like this. He says to them, you hold the keys of eternal life, but you don't let anybody else have the keys. You know how to open the door, but you don't let anyone else in. And he pronounces woes on them. In those situations, Jesus sounds just like God does here in Ezekiel 34. He hates that people are out there pretending to be shepherds of God's people and doing not just a bad job, but a wicked job. And he promises to hold those false shepherds accountable. We're glad, I guess, when people like L'Amour find justice when they get put in prison. But so many false shepherds will never face justice in this life. We rejoice then that God has made this promise to hold false teachers accountable. They will get what they deserve for the wrong they've done. But God doesn't just pronounce woes on the false shepherds. And he doesn't even say, I'm going to get rid of the bad ones and appoint some good ones. No, his promise is far better than that in Ezekiel 34. His promise to his exiled, struggling people is that he will come and shepherd them himself. He'll come and shepherd them himself. Verse 11. And the tone changes so much from the woes to verse 11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I don't know if you noticed the number of I wills when we read from verses 11 to 16. Have a moment where you are. Just glance down from verse 12 to 16. Count as many I wills or similar phrases, I wills, as you can. It's not a race, but when you're there, let me know. Anybody got a figure? Slightly depends how you count them. 11? 11? If you're there or thereabouts on 11, I reckon you're right. There's the odd word here and there in between. I myself will. I counted those ones. I think there's 11 instances in these verses of God saying he is going to do something. It's an emphatic promise that he will come and shepherd his people himself. The solution for these exiled believers, these people in captivity, is not more bad shepherds. It's certainly not even some better shepherds. It is God coming himself to save them, to rescue them, to be their shepherd. And the picture we get is, I think, quite beautiful. Verse 12, just as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. What does a good shepherd do when the flock is scattered? Verse 12 goes on, I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. Verse 13, I'll bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. It's a picture of God coming to his people and gathering them in from the nations. Spotting a sheep, a person over there and gathering them. Spotting a lost sheep down the road, going, gathering them, finding them. However far they've wandered, however lost they are, God draws his people back. Into safety, because that's what you get when you're with a shepherd. But not just safety. Lavish life, rich pastures. It's that Psalm 23 picture again, if you remember, of David singing of God his shepherd, leading him beside quiet waters and making him lie down in green pastures. Verse 14. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there will I feed them in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. For God's people, the promise is that their shepherd will come and there'll be no more wandering around, no more searching for spiritual food, no more searching for seeing if other gods offer something better. With God as their good shepherd, his people lie down in green pastures, enjoying all that they need. And where those bad shepherds didn't care about lost sheep, notice verse 16. I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. When God shepherds his people, the lost are found. Those who have gone astray are brought back in. The injured and weak are helped. Our God is in the business of rescuing people from every danger, from themselves, from sin, from death, from the devil. Rescuing them and us from all those kinds of things, drawing us back into life and the joy of eternal life with him. Let's just dwell on that picture of God as a shepherd for a moment. Think of a shepherd looking for a single sheep, searching high and low. Day and then night comes and the oil lamp comes out because he hasn't found them yet. He can hear a distant bar in the back in the distance and heads in that direction. Still looking deep into the night, far and wide. God is like that shepherd, desperate to find that lost sheep. Now imagine you're the sheep. I'm the sheep. God, desperate to seek and save us, to find us and draw us home. If you're here this morning and you'd call yourself a believer in Jesus, maybe you can trace the exact moment that God found you, searched you out. Maybe your story involves being able to trace the way God searched for you and found you. Maybe it started with a parent mentioning Jesus. Maybe it started with a friend inviting you to something. Maybe it was just you had a Bible and you read it, and the Lord sought you and found you. One way or another, if you're a believer here this morning, God got your attention and brought you into eternal life. And he did that as a shepherd looking for a sheep. And so this promise of God to come and shepherd his people, for those people in exile back in Ezekiel's day, I imagine some of them just got their heart racing a little bit. We're in captivity, we're in exile, we're stuck, and yet God is promising to come and save us, to rescue us, to gather us. Might he do it? When will he do it? And they had to wait. But as we read Ezekiel 34 this morning and reflect on God's promise to come and shepherd his people, as we set it alongside our verse of the year, I wonder what we notice about the two, Ezekiel 34 and its promises that God will come to hold false shepherds accountable and come and shepherd his people. And this picture of Jesus, as he says, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I guess if nothing less, Ezekiel 34 should, the background of it should add weight to Jesus' words. When he says, I'm the good shepherd, he's not talking in some abstract sense. He's not trying to just, what would be a helpful illustration to help people understand who I am and what I've come to do? This will do. There's so much background to this claim of Jesus to be the Good Shepherd. All of Ezekiel 34 is background. God promised to come and shepherd his people, and Jesus is here to shepherd his people. When we get to the second half of the verse, and Jesus says he's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, this Ezekiel 34 background comes in again as we remember the wicked, horrid shepherds who, so far from laying down their own lives, they didn't give a hoot about anyone else. They were only out for themselves, and yet Jesus comes, God with us, and lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't just sacrifice a little, he sacrifices a lot. He was rich, he became poor to give his life. Jesus is the promised Ezekiel 34 shepherd. And the main way that he gathers us together as his sheep is as he dies at the cross and gives his life, so that sinful sheep, dusty sheep, rebellious sheep can come back in to the flock and be forgiven and be welcome with God. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is a glorious Savior to us as God comes to be with us and rescue. And I think our Ezekiel 34 background should help us in other ways as we read through the Gospels, as we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I think there are various points at which we should go, hang on a minute, that Ezekiel 34 stuff helps. It helps when we read, I'm the Good Shepherd, but it also helps when he's rebuking the religious leaders. Hang on a minute, when he says woe to the religious leaders, that's just like Ezekiel 34. When Jesus comes and he says, I've come to seek and save the lost. There's something in our minds to just go, hang on, that sounds a bit like what God said he was going to do in Ezekiel 34. When Jesus stands on the edge of Jerusalem and looks over the city and thinks of the people in the city and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long did I long to, gather you? Similar language to Ezekiel 34 as God promised us to come and gather his people. And then when Jesus tells the parable in Luke 15, do you know the one about the lost sheep? As Jesus speaks, he says, God is like a shepherd going to find lost sheep. And we go, oh, of course he is. That's what Ezekiel said. See, Ezekiel 34 gives us confidence that when Jesus turns up, he really is the promised good shepherd. So where the people of Israel in Ezekiel's day had to wait and wait and wait, we read our Bibles and we get to see clearly all that they longed for in the person of Jesus. We get to enjoy the beginnings today of Jesus' shepherding care as he gives us peace beyond understanding. He helps us to lie down by quiet waters. He provides all that we need spiritually to enjoy green pastures. And then we walk with him day by day until he shepherds us into eternal life and the new creation. In Christ, God comes to shepherd us to safety. I just look around for a moment. That's awkward. Come on. Look around for a moment. The people that you see who are Christians here this morning are proof of Jesus' good shepherding. He has sought us out and found us and gathered us into a flock here. And so I rejoice that he's sought me out and found me. And I rejoice too that he sought Lizzie out and found her, and on we could go. As we see others trusting Jesus, we rejoice that Jesus' good shepherding care has meant that they're safe with him. If this is the Jesus that we have as the Good Shepherd, I wonder what stops us listening to him. He's given his life for us. How much more does he want to help us get to eternal life? And so as we follow our Good Shepherd, we want to think, what is he teaching me to love? What is he teaching me to hate? What sin is he teaching me to fight? What truth is he teaching me to believe? And we can ask ourselves, what would it look like for me today to follow the Good Shepherd more closely as he teaches me? Now let's return to Lamore Whitehead, the New York bling pastor who takes people's money, promises them wealth and health, and spends their money on clothes and cars. Through Ezekiel 34, God promises he will judge false shepherds like Lamore. And then he promises to come and be the shepherd of his people, and we see that he is in Jesus. And while we're safe because of Jesus today, in his care, as we trust him, Jesus has also appointed people to serve as church leaders who are supposed to do what Jesus does in a small way. So I want to take an opportunity to say two things. When you read Ezekiel 34 and you read about the false shepherds, if you see anything of me or Nigel or Veman in there, if you read any of that and think, there was that time where I came to one of the elders of our church, weak and needy, and they were rude and horrible, don't ignore that. Tell another elder, tell somebody else in the church. Make sure we hear that we've behaved in that way because we've done it by accident, I hope, and we want to repent and say sorry. Ezekiel 34 and this picture of bad shepherds gives you permission to hold us to account over our behavior. But it also gives you permission to ask us things and expect things of us as we seek to lead under Christ. He's given us responsibility as under-shepherds to lead like him. And so if we lead in ways that are not like Jesus, you should tell us that too. Please hold us accountable. The second thing I want to mention is I guess, a warning in a sense about false teaching. I'm trying to teach what is in the scriptures faithfully. I'm trying to present it to you and so you can have a look for yourself. I love you to have a Bible open so you can see, oh, is that, Jake said this, but it seems to be saying something else. I want to talk about that sort of thing if you notice things. But there are people like Lamore, particularly accessible, I suppose, for people like us on YouTube or in books, who teach things that are false about Jesus and are looking to exploit people. I wouldn't normally name people, but I want to just highlight one person to give us an example, okay? So this is a man. This is a man called Joel Osteen. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've watched a sermon of his or read one of his books. He says some things that sound really, really good. And this thing I'm about to tell you doesn't mean inherently that he's a false teacher, but I think it gives us a clue. He's got a $14 million home and a net worth of $50 million. And that just makes me ask, where's that money come from? We looked the other day. Can you remember how many people attend his church on a Sunday? 45,000 people on a Sunday morning. That's a lot of people hearing what this man says. And I want you to notice the subtlety with me. I don't know if you can see it. It might be a bit small. But just listen to this. Just be aware. Look, I'm not telling you this is true. I'm saying we need to be aware of this kind of thing. He says, God is about to make things happen that you couldn't make happen. So far, nothing too bad, okay? We can kind of nod along. That's true. God makes things happen that we can't. That's been my experience in lots of ways. And then he goes on, you're going to see an abundance of joy, an abundance of health, an abundance of resources. You're coming out of that dry place. The forces that have held you back are being broken right now. And I just begin to go, oh, what do I say to the people in my church who are experiencing ill health long term when he says something like that? Look around the room. There's enough ill health among us. There's pain, there's sadness, there's suffering. There is not an abundance of resources or an abundance of health in this room. Does that mean we've got something wrong? Does that mean God doesn't care about us? Does that mean God isn't blessing us? No. This man takes what's true in Scripture, twists it a little to get people's attention. And you know how he says you'll get an abundance of joy, an abundance of health, and an abundance of resources? Be part of his church and give the church lots of money. And he says, do that and you'll be like me. Look at my money. Look at my lifestyle. Look at my teeth. Want to be like me? Give the church your money and God will bless you. It's grim, isn't it? Horrible. And so I just wanted us to be warned of that kind of thing. Because some of his videos on YouTube have got 10 million views. Lots of people are seeing this and hearing this kind of thing. And it is destructive. To people like him, God says, woe to you, shepherds of my church, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds of my church take care of the flock? He promises to hold them accountable. And then he comes to us in the Lord Jesus and he says this, I will tend them in a good pasture on the mountain heights of Israel. That will be their grazing land. Verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Where false shepherds do wickedness to God's people, the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. A life with him is a life of eternal safety. And so let's pray that we'd be able to keep following him day by day. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the promise of your word that says you will search for your sheep and look after them. You promise to tend your sheep in good pastures. You promise to bring back the lost and the strays. We read of Jesus that he will not snuff out a smoldering wick. He will not break a bruised reed. He deals with his people with gentleness and care. A kind shepherd who protects his people. Thank you for our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd. Help us to walk with him each day. Protect us from falsehood here in this church. And protect others in this community who are exposed to and involved in false teaching. Help them to see the error. And help them to come to Jesus. Not for Ferraris and fun and health, but for eternal joy and restored relationship with the God who made them. Help us to that end, we pray. Amen.